offer just an observation that you know, you have to let Frank know that it takes two people to replace him. So
you're going to have to listen to that.
Well, thank you everyone for joining this evening. I am still working on my camera, but in the interim, just to move things along, I'd like to call the meeting to order this evening. Thank you all for joining us. And our first item up for conversation is any public comment. Just offer that. I don't know if Rita, Vonnie, you can let me know if there's anyone online that would like to address the commission.
I don't believe there is.
All right. Well, we will move on then to item number three, which are our minutes from our February 1st, 2021 Zoom meeting. I trust everyone has had the opportunity to review. And if so, would be glad to entertain a motion for approval.
This is Carolyn Dahl. I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Pam Carter seconds.
Thank you, Pam. Second. Any questions? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Raise your
aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Next item, our reports. I think we will skip over item 4A, unless Bonnie, you want to cover any of maybe Frank's comments, or otherwise we'll move right into 4B.
Move right into 4B, and then under other business, I did want to bring up something a little bit later to discuss with the commission, and that's about future meetings, and we can have a discussion about what the commission desires as far as having meetings in person or virtually. But we'll talk about that at the end of the meeting. Frank is going to bring that up.
Okay. Any other items for this evening? That you'd like to report on?
Yes, under my executive director's report, if you want to move to that,
start that. That'd be great.
We have a couple of things. We've been really busy since we last met back in February. And I have a lot of things to report, but I'm going to call on some of my staff to talk about their specific projects so you can hear about all the things that we're working on right now. But one of the big things, and I'm sure you all have heard about the American Rescue Bill, and the $2 trillion federal relief bill. And that money will start arriving into the Commonwealth and into each of the localities in the coming months. So we've been following and tracking the American Rescue Bill and providing updates to all of our localities as we receive information out of the Department of Treasury and as we receive information, we're passing that on to our localities. But our 21 localities, our 5 cities, our 5 counties, and 11 towns are poised to receive an estimated $119 million in American Rescue Funds. The counties will receive their funding based on population. Cities and towns will receive theirs based on a modified CDBG formula. The money can be used, it's a lot more flexible than the CARES funding was, and the time frame is much longer. Localities will have until December 2024 to use these funds. And the allowable uses, again, are very broad and broader than they were with the CARES money. They can be used to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic and its negative effects that it's had on the economy, households, small businesses, nonprofits. And one of the things that's a little bit different is that the tourism and travel and hospitality industry funds can be used to respond to the negative effects that the COVID has had on that particular industry, which has been devastating in a lot of places. Another area can be that localities can use these funds is to cover the cost of lost revenues. And that's going to be very helpful to our localities. Also, the funds can be used to make necessary investments in water, sewer, and broadband. Pam, did you hear that? Mm-hmm. Broadband. So there's going to be a lot of money coming to this area for those kinds of projects. We're still waiting to hear exactly how much money localities will be receiving from the U.S. Treasury Department, and that guidance is expected later this month. It should be coming out any day, and exactly how much money everybody will be receiving. So more to come on the American Rescue Bill, and again, we're providing information to our localities as we receive it. Tomorrow morning at 10:30, we will be closing on the Lewis Street property in Stanton. This is the property that was owned by American Shakespeare, and we're purchasing it for $185,000 for the continued use, to use it as a bright transit hub. Most of you all heard about that at the meeting in December. I have a few staff, two new staff members to introduce you to. Pat Lancey. Pat's somewhere in here. Pat, you want to wave your hand? Pat is our fiscal technician. She was hired in January. Pat acquired her associate accounting degree from Piedmont Community College and has more than 20 years of accounting and management experience in public and private sectors. Pat lives in Stewart's Draft with her husband and her two cats. The next person I'd like to introduce you to is Manas Rajan. And Manas is, he's in my right-hand bottom corner. Manas joined the CSPDC in February as one of our transportation planners. Manas recently graduated from Rutgers University with a master's in city and regional planning. Before coming to the U.S., he trained as an architect and worked as an urban designer. He supports the work of the Harrisonburg-Rockingham MPO and our rural transportation planning programs. Also wanted to let you know that Hunter Moore, she's our GIS planner. She had a beautiful baby boy in February named Elliot Claude. And she and her husband, Joe, and baby Elliot are living the good life in Swope, Virginia. And Hunter will return to work sometime next month. So now I'm going to call on a couple staff members to report on projects so I don't have to do all the talking. And they're more familiar and intimate with their particular project. I'm going to call on Elizabeth to talk about Go Virginia.
Good evening. So in March, State Go Virginia Board awarded the Shenandoah Valley Partnership $821,000 in grant funds to improve the readiness of six development sites in Go Virginia Region 8. SVP will be contracting with Draper Aiden Associates to perform due diligence work associated with the site. This includes boundary and topographical surveys, wetlands delineation, geotechnical exploration, phase one environmental site assessments, and Virginia Business Ready site program characterization letters. Three of the six sites are in our planning district, and they include Innovation Village at Rockingham, the Blue Mountain site in Augusta County, and the South Campus of the Shenandoah Valley Industrial Park in Rockingham County. The other three sites are in Frederick, Shenandoah, and Warren counties. This project is leveraging $1.2 million of prior investment in these sites from the last 24 months as match. And the intent of the project is to improve marketable sites to the next development tier level to encourage business location. The CSPDC will be providing grant administration services for the project, which is expected to take about a year to complete. So also as a Quick reminder, the next Go Virginia Region 8 Council meeting is next week, Tuesday, April 27th at 10 a.m. It will be a virtual meeting. If you are interested in attending, please let us know and we'll send you the Zoom information for you to join. That's all I have tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. If anybody has any questions for Elizabeth or for me or anybody else that's speaking, please let us know. We're glad to answer those questions for you. If not, you know, one of the things, well, I think one of the greatest services that the PVC provides to its localities is in the area of grant writing and identifying funding for certain projects. And we're very busy with writing grants. One of them that we helped the city of Buena Vista with is a CDBG grant. I'm going to let Grace, I think is Grace with us?
I'm up here. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. We've been working very closely with the city of Buena Vista on their downtown revitalization efforts. On April 1st, we submitted a community development block grant in the amount of $1 million for the city's downtown. And that proposed project was based on the recommendations outlined in the city's new downtown plan, which was just finalized this past January. And the proposed project, if awarded, would fund, it would provide funding for streetscape improvements, wayfinding signage, and facade improvement grants. And these projects are proposed to be focused along the 21st Street corridor in Buena Vista with the intention to connect downtown with nearby outdoor recreation and future economic development projects, including a new public town square, an ag tech innovation center, and a workforce development center. So this project really would boost both economic and community activity in downtown, and we're supposed to find out if that grant is awarded probably late summer, early fall. Thanks.
Thank you, Grace. Another CDBG grant that we also worked on is for the town of Goshen, and I'm going to let Nathan talk about that project.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks, Bonnie. Since January, we've been assisting the town of Goshen in preparing a CDBG planning grant application to determine the feasibility of converting the approximately 25,000 square foot old school and its associated 7 acres into a mixed-use community center and public park space. The vision for the center is to provide many basic services the town currently lacks, to include a medical, dental, mental health, and substance abuse clinic, senior center, food bank storage and delivery, training and a free internet access room, business incubation, outdoor park space, indoor community gathering space, and relocation of the town hall. Additionally, the building currently houses the regional library and daycare program, both of which will remain. Town Council has begun aligning partnerships with area organizations who will be able to provide these services. The application was submitted on April 1st for a total funding request of $50,000. If awarded, project tasks will include a preliminary engineering report, a floodway review, renovation cost estimation, creation of an operations plan and financial review, and identification of further funding sources and partners. And the PDC will provide grant administration services for the duration of the project if awarded. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Nathan. Last but not least, I'd like for Rachel Salatin to talk about what she's been working on for the past year, and that's an agricultural enterprise feasibility study. Rachel?
Thanks, Bonnie. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. We are very excited to be at this stage of the Agricultural Enterprise Center feasibility study. It is wrapping up and will be completed in May. Since the study began in July, the CSPDC, in partnership with our 10-member study team and consultants, New Venture Advisors, have conducted and completed primary and secondary research that serve as the backbone of the study and the final deliverables. primary research included a survey that obtained 69 completed responses and 37 interviews with potential facility users and buyers. From this research, New Venture Advisors presented three potential operating models to the CSPDC and study team, in which one, named the Shenandoah Specialty Meat and Produce Hub, was chosen for further development. To continue the project's momentum and engage the farming and food business community further, two interest meetings were held earlier this month to discuss how the chosen operating model might be used by key stakeholders if brought to fruition. A draft of the final report is currently under review and includes a financial analysis, building diagram, funding strategy, potential site inventory, and operator RFI. The final report will be shared via Zoom in May, so please stay tuned for a formal invitation coming soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Does anybody have any questions for Elizabeth, Grace, myself, Rachel, Nathan, on any of these projects? If you you know, want more information about anything you've heard, just let us know. We're glad to share that. But as you can see, we've been very, very busy. And we're going to, I think, be a lot busier once all these grants get funded. So that's all I have, Mr. Short, on the Executive Director's report, if you want to move to the Treasurer's report.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks for all that you all do. What a whirlwind of activity. So a busy time, but appreciate all of your hard work. So the Treasury report, that would be me, right? So so with that, a copy of the financial report's been included in your packet, and I'm sure that we've all taken copious notes and aligned questions ready to roll. As you'll note, that our financial position remains strong and that we're tracking on budget. Revenue is up 23.5% from last year, which reflects new projects, EDA CARES funding, and two pass-through programs. Expenses are well controlled, with wages and benefits up only 7.6% from last year, tracking at 6.5% lower than budgeted. And if there are no questions of me, I'll turn it over to Lee for any additional detail or information.
Thank you, Terry. If you're sharp-eyed and did read thoroughly through the prepared remarks, it looks as if we're not tracking the budget from an aggregate standpoint. The primary responsibility for the variance falls on a pass-through program that we have, where we are the grantee with Fervati to provide and support broadband expansion in Rockbridge County, and that's our project that we're supporting with BARC. And to date, we have not drawn down as much as we had initially anticipated, but that is primarily pass-through funds. We continue to expect the program to wrap up by December, and there BARC is making great progress. While of our $2.2 million grant, so far we've only drawn down to date $137,000, but later this month we expect to draw down an additional $900,000. And if you back out those things, at this point we're tracking exactly how you'd expect us to, or hope to expect us to budget this, you know, this far in the fiscal year. Point two, I've got three of these. Point two, we're hard at work on the fiscal 22 budget. We expect to present a draft budget to the executive committee in May, and then present that draft budget to the full commission in June. Third, and finally, we have been hard at work for the past year on an updated employee policy manual, or employee handbook, if you will. We've been working with Nancy Bowman, who has tremendous experience working in HR for the city of Stanton, and also with Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. Now, this part of this is we've updated or formalized more than 35 policies. It includes an updated compensation plan, which was far overdue, but Nancy and the CSPD staff delved into comparables for other PDCs and other local governments to bring us up to kind of market rates for what is what is deserving of our employees in terms of attracting and retaining the kind of talent that we want. So we're excited to have that behind us, excited to have that complete, and we'll be presenting it more formally to the staff shortly. Any questions?
Questions for Lee?
Hey, Terry, this is Adam Fletcher. Quick question. I don't know if this is for Lee or Bonnie. Two questions, really. The first is regarding that really bizarre $7,600 that DRPT inadvertently, is there any rectification at all? Is there any kind of backtrack on that? That just seems very bizarre.
So the rideshare program, from a financing standpoint, last year, because of COVID, they allowed for the rollover of certain funds because not all the funds, and this is across the program, not just us, a lot of the funds didn't get spent because people weren't riding or sharing. And so they allowed us to roll over certain funds, and then they delayed the approval of the fiscal 21 funds. And with the delay, they revisited everyone's budget, and they cut from everyone's budget, not just ours, certain line items, including advertising and promotion and what have you. Now, yes, it should have been $7,000 higher. First of all, I appreciate you reading the verbiage that I put together. It should have been, and we did have an opportunity. Well, there was an opportunity to have that fixed, if you will. But once they started going through everyone's budget for the year and making cuts to different activity line items, they decided that the errored funding amount, which was $7,000 plus short of what we had expected, was sufficient to get us through this year. So while, you know, we grin and bear it, we're staffed and structured for the lower amount. So,
right. That's totally fine. I read through that and I was like, wait, am I reading this correctly? That just seems a little bizarre that they're just like, whoop, inadvertently, we didn't give you the money we thought we were giving you.
Yes.
But I appreciate that, Lee. Thank you. The second question is maybe a little too soon. I know last year, Bonnie, that you in, I guess, January had given us an indication that we're thinking about increasing the rate at which you were hoping localities would offered to the CSPDC, and then of course COVID hit. Any preliminary discussion about that this go around?
Yes. Going into FY21, we proposed a 10-cent per capita increase, and then COVID hit, and we withdrew that and kept it at 70 cents. But I've talked to all the managers, and we've already proposed to go back up to that 80 cent per capita rate. And so that's what the request is in to all the localities. And we just had a one-year breather, if you will. But that is going to go into effect on July 1. So, yeah.
And just to follow up on that, we haven't sent out fiscal 22 invoices yet. That'll come in July 1st. We have sent out an indication of what to expect, I guess, so that these amounts could be included in the locality budgets.
Great.
Anything else?
Any other questions? All right. Well, I'll entertain a motion for approval. Treasurer's report.
So moved, Bill Fitzgerald.
Great. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? All those in favor say aye or thumbs up.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you all. Number recognition of a new commissioner, Dewey Ritchie from Rockingham County. I saw Mr. Ritchie earlier on the Zoom and
Here I am.
Hey, thanks for joining us this evening. Nice to meet you. Look forward to meeting you in person. thanks for joining us. And you picked a great night to join us. We've got some some really cool topics presentations this evening. So welcome. Do you want to tell the board a little bit about yourself and your service? How did you come to service, public service?
I'm doing okay. I live right outside of Broadway. I was a deputy sheriff in Rockingham County for 40 years, right at 40 years. Was on the planning commission for a little over 8 years. Decided to run for the board of supervisors. Have been elected. Of course, that was to fill out a term. Now I have to run. I am running again this fall. As I said, I live outside of Broadway in the mountains. I farm and do some remodeling work, and that's what I do.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for getting for joining us and for serving.
Thank you.
Great. We'll move on to item number six, which is a presentation from Don Heidman, who's a project director of the Shenandoah Rail to Trail Partnership. He is here to talk about something near and dear to my heart. Don and I've had lots of conversations about that in my VDOT role, and I think you'll enjoy his presentation. I know I will. So, Bonnie, do you have any other introductory remarks that you'd like to make?
No, that's great. I think Don can, I'm looking around the screen. I know he's on here.
He's here.
I am here.
So Don and Zach are, Zach's going to be the tech backup if Don has any trouble sharing his screen. But I'll go ahead and just turn it over to you, Don, and
thank you.
Take it away.
Thank you.
You hit the share button here, and I'll bring this over. And just a second here. Let me get this up and running. First, I'm going to show everybody a 2.5 minute video, and then I'll talk for about 10 minutes and show some pretty slides. And I'll be asking for four things, actually: a resolution of support for the project, participation in the VDOT survey that's coming out later this month, and I want to know what people want to see on their first mile. And who else you think we should be talking to? So let me see if I can get this video. Can you all see the video? Yes, you can. Let's stop this. Sorry. This video is a YouTube video, but I may have to go to the backup here because this went obviously to the next video after I tested it out. Zach, you got the backup video?
Yeah, Mr. Hyman, let me bring that up for you. Can you all see that?
Yeah.
Can you put it on full screen? There we go.
Terrific. We're dreaming about a green trail that's safe and peaceful.
The rail directly connects each of these small towns in Shenandoah County and northern Rockingham County.
Going from the Strasburg Museum, the old train station, down to Heritage Park in downtown Broadway, this is a 38.5 mile dream that we'd like you to be a part of.
Well, it's basically a lot of it is, of course, to get the owner of the rail to convert it over. We don't own it and we don't have it.
It's not been used now for more than 20 years. We'd like to put it back in service so that our communities are connected again. We've formed a partnership of 10 communities, 2 counties, 2 planning districts, and 4 nonprofits.
Tom's Brook is part of my heritage. My grandparents were married in the church here, and my mom took the train here to Tom's Brook every day as a child as she came to visit her grandmother. The trestle behind me is part of the Tom's Brook landscape. It is part of our town seal, and it was the key to make Tom's Brook one of the busiest towns in the county in the early 1900s.
this project has the ability to appeal to a wide range of people. The first thing you think of when you think of this project is the quality of life aspect. The exercise, the transportation, bike riding, walking, running, that would come from this. But also the tourism and economic development would be huge.
The natural resources, the historical resources, the agriculture and the industry that's here, and for just help, just for walking and having the opportunity to be off of Route 11 and have a safe place to walk.
I think this would be a great project for the town of Woodstock and for other towns up and down the northern Shenandoah Valley.
It's not a done deal yet, and there's a lot of work to be done on this project.
If you'll talk, we'll listen.
Terrific. You will all readily learn that this is now, this is outmoded, i.e. The video is out of date because we are now going to Front Royal, not just from Broadway to Strasburg. So I think about this. Can you see my slides okay? I think
yes.
So I think about this project like I think about a recipe for Thanksgiving dinner. I.e., it's complicated, and you can't just get up on Thanksgiving morning and say, I'm going to prepare a large feast. One of the first things you have to realize is who's coming to dinner. And without any offense to anybody, realize that, one, I'm an emergency room physician. And so my bent on this project has to do with public health. And this is who's coming to dinner. And my family and many of your families, certainly our neighbors, we have too many people in our lives that are eating the wrong foods and not exercising enough and quite sedentary and eating too much of the wrong foods. So the first thing in the recipes, I begin with a little bit of laughter. As an emergency room physician specializing in trauma, I'm a bit intense and I seem to take myself too seriously. This is me telling my brother that those mountains in the foreground there aren't very high. I was lying. Those mountains were very high. Those are the Rocky Mountains. We bicycled across country in 1972. We're going to need several pounds of scenery, and having walked this entire 50-mile corridor, I can assure you that there's tons of scenery on every single mile. And some of the prettiest things are actually down in Broadway, because Broadway to Timberville, because that's where it is paralleling the river. It also parallels the river from Strasburg to Front Royal. We're going to need a lot of friends. Why? Because Norfolk Southern is a billion-dollar industry, and they don't change anything without five committees and 12 subcommittees studying it forever. This is what we have now. This bridge is 115 feet above a creek bed, and it's a wonderful bridge for railroads, but not particularly good for pedestrians. In the emergency department, we call this a hormone magnet, because silly boys and girls do silly things and dangerous things to attract other silly boys and girls, like everybody that's on this conference call has done, as I've done. So what we need, this is also what we have in downtown, downtown Woodstock and elsewhere along the rail. This rail was last used in 2007, and we have some, this picture here is 2 years old. We have some trees that are 30 foot high now. And back when I walked it in 2016, I could just push the bushes aside. Now I need a machete to make the trip. This is what I want you to remember from this whole show, this one slide. These are normal people riding normal bicycles with normal clothes on. These aren't Olympic athletes. And this is what I want our community, you know, when we're inviting our family and friends to visit us here in the Shenandoah River, we want to give them a nature bath. and be able to do something that isn't going to kill them the next day. The beauty about rail trails is that they're basically flat. There are no hills. And yet you get lots of exercise and lots of community bridge building. So this is what, and it needs to be safe. This bridge here could be 500 feet in the air and nobody's going to die on this bridge unless they, you know, climb up and jump over. But it's, there's not going to be any accidental falls here. So I throw in Jennifer French because she's one of dozens and dozens of people that have worked hundreds of hours on bits of this recipe, you know, behind closed doors in the office, just getting little bits of it done. And we've been meeting for 5 years. And, you know, there's a saying about how normal people can change the world. And I think they can. And I think that's the only thing that changes the world. All recipes need a little bit of spice. We went down to Richmond and met Mr. Bentley here, who's the vice president for Norfolk Southern for governmental affairs. Turns out the tie in this picture is the most important thing, at least for our relationship building, because that's a tribe tie. He and Mayor McCleary, who was in on the visit, they both graduated from William and Mary, and they've struck up a very nice relationship. It does not hurt our project to have a good communicator. Tim's not a decision maker, but he's an excellent communicator and he is influential. It doesn't hurt to have him inside the billion-dollar industry here. That, by the by, is Franklin Roosevelt's Pullman car. Mr. Bentley had borrowed it for an inauguration. Norfolk Southern had borrowed it for an inauguration. A dab of mom's secret sauce is good for all recipes, and a little bit of wise counsel. Why am I showing my wife and my granddaughter? Because I think about my granddaughter in particular as unknown potential, and we're going to give her, and so are her parents, going to give her every possible advantage so that she can reach her full potential. We think about this project the same way. We need to know what you want to see on your first mile and who else we need to be talking to. And we need your support, both from the resolution of support that I mentioned earlier, but also for the small things like the survey that's coming out later this month, that Terry's VDOT is actually doing the MetroQuest survey. This is what public health looks like in 2021. This is a Boy Scout troop with some of their sisters along on a rail trail outside of Washington, D.C. These kids came into school that Monday and they were bragging, I rode 30 miles on the trail. And they did. They did ride 30 miles. And later the following summer, they rode 180 miles on a camping trip on another rail trail. And it turns out health, as I like to say, is not a noun. It's a verb. We were meant to move every day. We weren't even meant to eat three meals a day. You know, most of us eat because it's time to eat as opposed to being hungry. So having a rail trail in our community with kids commuting to school and people commuting to work on the rail trail and bringing friends and families in to visit would be just sensational. I tell my scouts to dream big. This is a bridge that I accidentally ran across down in Gainesville, Georgia. If they can do this, this is over a four-lane highway, by the by. It is a rail-to-trail bridge, and we need two of them, one in Mount Jackson and one in Woodstock. I don't know that I'll see them in my lifetime, but if they can do it in Gainesville, Georgia, we can certainly do it here in Virginia. All recipes take some patience, take some time. The average rail trail project in the United States takes 10 to 20 years to come to fruition. We're 5 years into this attempt. This is the third attempt that I know of in the last 30 years to acquire this corridor. This is the only busy slide. I'm going to just highlight the economic impact here, the fourth one from the bottom. We got that done in 2019, but only on the Rockingham and Shenandoah portions, because we didn't know about Warren County's availability at that time. So that study was very, very supportive, and that got the attention of our legislators. So we formed this partnership in November of 19, of which you are members. And we heard from Vice President of Government Affairs, Tim Bentley, in late July last year, right after we did the video. And he said, yeah, we are now interested, but we're only interested in selling from Broadway to Front Royal, not parts of it, the whole thing or nothing. And I said, well, that makes it a 50-mile trail. that's just fine. Based on that, our local politicians, Senator Obishane, Senator Hangert, Delegate Tony Wilt, and Todd Gilbert, they all supported and nursed a feasibility study through the General Assembly last fall. That feasibility study is now about halfway done. It's being done by the State Parks people, DCR, and VDOT, and will be done by November 1st of this year. At 4 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, in my family, we sit down. If the gravy's a little bit thin, or the potatoes are overcooked, or the pie is a little bit runny, we still hold hands and are thankful for what we have. We're going to do the same thing on dedication day of this trail. But I want it to be, you know, the best that it can be, which means that we need your input. We need to know what you want to see on your first mile, who else we need to talk to, and we need to just keep chipping away at this, because we're not done yet. And we've got momentum. We're meeting with both the Richmond politicians and the federal politicians. And we have Trust for Public Land now negotiating with Norfolk Southern. With that, I'm going to stop and get your comments and questions. And these are our 16 partners now. In May, we anticipate Front Royal and Warren County coming on board as partners. So we'll be up to 18 at that point. Comments.
Thank you, Don. Any questions or comments for Don? Awesome. It's a ringing endorsement, Don. I think that's, if I would just, my one bit of advice, now this is the first time I've seen this presentation, would be that if you really just want to hands down slam dunk get everybody's endorsement, just throw some more photos of that beautiful granddaughter of yours in there. She was precious. So you'll be good to go. So
thanks, Terry.
All right. Well, good. Well, thank you so much for the presentation and all of your hard work and dedication to it. And so
we can.
Mr. Chairman, as part of Don's presentation, we're asking for a resolution of support from the Planning District Commission. Don is in the process of going to all the localities as well as the other planning district and some other organizations. And I think he'll be up to like 42 letters of support. Is that what you were thinking, Don?
Actually, the resolutions will have about 20 by the end of May.
Okay.
And right now we're around 15, and I have the Chambers of Commerce's are entertaining it, and some other folks. And letters of support will come from some of the clubs and churches that are. Are interested.
In your packet, there is a resolution that we would like for the Planning District Commission to endorse this evening, and we'll get our chairman to sign it, and we'll ship it up to Don for his records.
This is Kim. I'd like to propose that we support the resolution in our packet.
A second.
Carolyn Dahl, second.
Carolyn, second. Thank you. Any questions? All those in favor of supporting the resolution, please say aye or
aye.
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 All right. Motion carries. We get to keep our logo on his slide deck there. That's fantastic. Well, good. Well, thanks again, Don.
Thank you.
So we have our next item on the agenda. I'm going to hand this over to Mr. Wells. We could do the intro, and then I've got to step off for a budget meeting on council. So it's a consideration of the Bright contract amendment with VRT. Center board packet 21-2. So with the Butch, are you all good to go?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Dram.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Is Nancy going to present this?
I am.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Nancy, if you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Wells. I am ready.
Okay.
This is to consider two addendums to the current operating contract with Virginia Regional Transit. Back in 2017, the commission authorized the executive director to enter into a five-year contract that was valued at about $7.5 million with Virginia Regional Transit to deliver the Bright Transit services. That initial contract included the potential of two-year contract extensions. So this first addendum to the contract will exercise the first of those two-year extensions and provide the Bright Transit service in fiscal years 23 and 24. The extensions valued at approximately $3.7 million. And that is funded with a combination of Federal Transit Administration, Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation, the participating local jurisdictions, which in this case are the cities of Stanton and Waynesboro and the county and Augusta County. And then in addition, we have private transit partners. The second addendum is to the same contract for provision of the Afton Express service, which will connect Stanton, Augusta County, and Waynesboro to Charlottesville and Fifth Street Station in Albemarle County. If you recall, we studied the feasibility of this transit service back in 2016 and reported to the commission in February of 2018. And then subsequently, the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation funded a consultant-led service plan, which was finalized in 2019. And based on the state's guidance, we made application for a demonstration grant to fund the startup and initial operations of the Afton Express. And we were successful in getting $387,654 to start up and for about 18 months of operation. That will be combined with local match from the three cities, Stanton, Waynesboro, and Charlottesville, the two counties of Augusta and Albemarle, and the University of Virginia. The term of this contract amendment is about $750,000 to cover that same period through fiscal year 24, so that both addendums coincide with the same term. The procurement policy for the Planning District Commission requires the commission to authorize all contracts in excess of $100,000 in value. So our requested board action is to approve and authorize execution of these two addendums to the transit contract. Thank you.
Okay. Do any members have questions of Nancy? Okay, hearing none. Bonnie, I think, do we have to take these addendums one at a time? Vote on them one at a time, or can we vote on them together?
Can vote on them together. And also Jordan Bowman, our attorney with Littman Sykes, is here to answer any questions that you all might have about these addendums. He put those together, of course, for us. But Jordan, did you have anything that you wanted to say before the commission takes action on this?
No, I think Nancy covered it all. I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
These two addenda are pretty short and sweet. One, I think, is a page and a half, and the other is maybe 3 pages, and they're really just add-ons to a very solid core contract that we entered into years ago. And okay. I'm happy if you want to approve them together.
Okay. All right. Hearing no questions or discussions, do I hear a motion to approve both of these amendments together?
So moved, Bill Fitzgerald.
A second?
A second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, likewise.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure who second. Was that the second?
Okay, who's second?
George.
Okay, thank you.
George Hirschman. Thank you, George. Okay, by moving right along to number 8, consideration of rural transportation planning grant. Zach, that's yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. So every year, the PDC receives $58,000 grant from VDOT to fund our rural transportation planning program. This number is matched with $14,500 from PDC membership dues, which makes a total of $72,500 every year for the program. The work program outlines the transportation planning activities and projects for our rural localities for the upcoming fiscal year, and the documents linked in the action form that went out with your packet. So within that document, you'll find kind of more detailed bulleted list of the transportation planning activities that will take up over the new fiscal year. This includes, you know, documenting just the administrative aspects, our assistance with our rural localities with planning and grants, coordination of bike ped planning activities, and also identifying one kind of specific small area study that is focused on rural transportation improvements that we assist one locality with every year. So of interest for the upcoming 2022 fiscal year, we will be assisting rural localities with transportation alternatives grant applications. These are applications that fund smaller projects like sidewalk improvements. We'll also be helping localities start thinking about the next round of smart scale grant funding, which is, you know, kind of the biggest pot of transportation related money to go after. We'll be assisting with comprehensive plan updates, specifically in Buena Vista and Highland County. We'll continue support for the Rails to Trails initiative, as outlined by Mr. Hyman earlier in his presentation. And our small area study for the new fiscal year will be focused on a pedestrian improvement study in the city of Buena Vista. So in summary, the rural transportation program operates on a budget of $72,500 every year, largely from VDOT grant funding. The work program is updated annually. It outlines what we're going to do for the upcoming year for our rural localities. So we're requesting the commission approve this FY22 rural work program, and pending approval, we'll go ahead and send the document off to VDOT. Are there any questions about the FY22 rural work program?
Any questions from the board or comments? Hearing none, a motion?
So moved, Bill Fitzgerald.
Second?
Second, Pam Carter.
Okay. All board members in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, Bonnie, moving along to item number 9, Commonwealth Intergovernmental Review Process.
Yes, in your packet, you have 3, we call them CHIRPs, applications that different organizations have made for federal funds. This is, you're not approving the grants or the applications, you're just endorsing them, saying that you're endorsing them and familiar with them. So there are three before you. We can take them up all as in one motion to approve.
Okay. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve all three?
So move, Chairman Engel.
Second.
Pam Carter, seconds.
Okay. Having a motion and a second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we're down to other business, and I believe, Bonnie, you had something that you wanted to bring up. Is that correct?
Yes, okay. Mr. Wells. Just an open discussion to see how people feel. We've been meeting now for over a year virtually, like most people have. We're under the governor's executive order to allow us to meet virtually and hold public meetings. I just wanted to see how people felt about our next meeting will be in June. Do we want to continue to hold that virtually? Our following meeting after that would be in August. I just wanted to get a sense of, you know, how people feel about holding the commission meetings virtually. Are we ready to come back in person? We're trying to make some technology upgrades in our large conference room to be able to do a hybrid type meeting where people could attend in person and still be socially distanced. And then others that wanted to join by Zoom would also be allowed, but we don't have that technology right now. But does anybody have any opinions or thoughts about future meetings?
I get my second shot tomorrow night, so I'm fine either way.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald.
This is Carolyn Dahl. I think it would be difficult for everyone to show up in your conference room and have enough social distancing, because it's my understanding that currently we're still supposed to be in a public meeting, which this is. We're still supposed to wear masks and social distance. So it looked like it'd be tough.
This is Pam Carter. Would we need to meet at the facility, or could we hold it somewhere that was larger?
Our conference room here, typically seats about 20 something people, but if we had to be 6 feet apart, it would probably only hold about 12, maybe not even that many. We do have the Bright Transit facility, which has a larger conference room. We need to go over there and count chairs and see, but that may not even be large enough if we still have to maintain a 6 foot distance. But that is also a possibility as well.
We have to maintain that after the shots, if everybody's got shots.
Well, we do have to follow the governor's executive order on that. Yeah. And right now, I can't recall what the limitations are on indoor gatherings, but you still have to maintain, you still have to wear the mask. Jordan, is there anything you wanted to say about, the public bodies and meeting, and when that, if that is going to be lifted or we're going to be allowed to continue? Do you have any sense on that?
Yeah, at the end of March, so about 20 days ago, the General Assembly adopted Senate Bill 1271, which basically made permanent some of the rules that we've been living by for the last year, which are that during a state of emergency, you can meet via Zoom like we are now. When the state of emergency ends, ultimately, you will need to go back to in-person meetings, but And I don't know when that will occur, but I don't think that it'll be before June.
I think the Zoom meetings seem to be working well. They do for the council that I'm on in Bridgewater. And I just say go ahead and Zoom again in June, and then reevaluate again for August. Mm-hmm.
Bonnie, in your opinion, aside from the personal face-to-face contact and having dinner together, yeah. is there anything that you see that we're not as accomplishing by Zoom that we would accomplish by being together?
Well, I agree with you. You know, Zoom is very efficient. I mean, our region is so large. I know Mr. Hicklin's not on the call today, but he's in Bath County. He has to drive, you know, almost 2 hours for a 1 hour meeting. So, you know, for people that have to drive large distances, that is a disadvantage. So I think our attendance has been really good with Zoom. And it does seem to be very efficient, but yes, I do miss that, you know, the meetings before the meetings and the eating and the collaboration and things that do happen. But as far as efficiency, we have accomplished everything that we need to very well, as a matter of fact, by meeting by Zoom. So, you know, we may want to, you know, revisit it like Mr. Schofield said. Let's see what, you know, what's happening. You know, maybe every other, you know, once we get back to normal, you know, maybe we, you know, could, you know, every other meeting could be in person, or we could have hybrid meetings where certain people could meet and then the others could Zoom in so we could continue to conduct business. So I think it is kind of let's, you know, wait and see what happens. But if, to answer your question, you all have accomplished everything we needed. I mean, we've been able to conduct business and we really haven't skipped a beat as far as our, you know, responsibilities in, you know, meeting deadlines and getting things approved, so.
Bonnie, it's Adam Fletcher. I'm just curious, how many localities on our team here are meeting in person, have started? In their own jurisdictions, own councils and, you know, Board of Supervisors.
Rockingham is.
Rockingham has a hybrid.
Rhonda, could you explain what a hybrid is, Rhonda?
Yes. At our board meetings, we are currently having speakers have the availability of meeting in person or by WebEx and do their presentation from WebEx. Both work well. We've had both used frequently. At this point, the board is having the public who wants to speak on for example, a land use case, they need to be there in person. However, the Planning Commission lets people speak from the public on a rezoning case or such virtually. And just this week, just today, we were looking at making those two consistent in how they conduct business. So I don't know whether that's going to be that we require everyone to be present to speak, or whether we're going to let the hybrid model of having the option to speak virtually or in person. But we're going to work through that in the coming days.
Thank you. And Ms. Carter, what did you say Augusta County was doing?
We're basically the hybrid. We've been meeting in person as a board, but there's also opportunity for the public to either call in or make their comments. And I was going to offer, we have quite a large meeting room at the government center, the Smith Room. So I offer that up if you need it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too, Pam, that we have a much larger facility than that conference room at the PC.
This is Chris Layden in Rockbridge. We're doing something very similar as far as a hybrid. Even with the Planning Commission, some members are still joining remotely. Public participation remotely as well. As far as the Board of Supervisors, I think for a month or so now, all members have been physically present, but we're still accepting comments, public hearing comments, and citizen comments via Zoom or phone.
Buena Vista is still our zoo.
Buena Vista is all zoo?
Yes.
Okay.
All of our council meetings are zoo. Okay.
And
Harrisonburg is still virtual on Zoom.
And Highland County has been in a hybrid from the very beginning. And so is our planning commission, but we're small. So, yeah. So it's been pretty easy. The nicest part about it, is our public participation has increased. You know, I'd have to say 100% in some cases.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Okay, so I'll throw this out for vote or discussion. How about, I don't really hear consensus, so how about we continue to meet Zoom for June, and we'll reevaluate it in June?
That sounds great.
How about everybody in agreement with that? Opposition, speak up.
I'm fine.
Sounds good.
I think we'll have a much better idea as we get closer to August as to the situation.
Yeah. I agree. It's great.
Okay, Bonnie, does that sound good?
That sounds great. Thank you all so much for your input. We're all trying to figure out
exactly
what's the next move. So appreciate everybody's comments on that.
The main thing is we're getting the work done.
We are.
Yeah. And that's the bottom line. Okay. Bonnie, you have any other business?
I do not.
Any of the members have business they'd like to bring before the entire board? Okay. Hearing none. Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
So moved. Bill Fitzgerald.
Second.
Sam Carter, second.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. Didn't do too bad, folks, for being a on deck circle guy, but thank you all very much for being on tonight. And Bonnie, thank you. Yeah. Even though it was right at the last minute, I come rushing in from doing my evening walk, and my wife says, call Bonnie quick. You got to run the meet tonight. So I think it went real well for all of us.
Thank you. It really did. Thank you so much, Mr. Wells, and everybody for attending. And we'll see you in June, if not before.
Sounds great.
Be safe. Bye. Bye.